Living Seed Media brings to you God's Word, which is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives. May the Lord impact your heart as you encounter His Word. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0808-5150-610. Email address lsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings forth the word of life.
It's 24. Just quick instructions. Hallelujah. We'll take a particular marriage in the Bible now. I do wish we could take some two others, but I'm watching this time. It's not on our side. May God help us. Now, the marriage between Rebecca and Isaac, let's quickly make a quick study. And I'm hoping that I'll be able to apply this to the various categories of men and women who are in this meeting. Those that are married, those that are yet to marry. Let's see what we're to say there. Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country, and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said to him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I need bring your son again unto the land from whence thou camest? Abraham said to him, beware that thou bring not my son there how again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me and that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before you, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. Now look, what do we learn from that? First lesson. You see, Abraham was making his servant to swear that under no circumstance, under no condition, must he take a wife among the Canaanites. It was an oath. How many of you will enter into an oath with God today? Say, no matter how terrible my condition is, I will never marry an unbeliever. It's an oath. In the matter of unequal yoking, it was supposed to be an oath. I will never be unequally yoked. Even if there's no man to marry, I will rather stay unmarried than marry an unbeliever. Brother, you see what this man said? He said, among the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, thou shalt not take a wife. And we dwell in this world, among the daughters of this world, those uncircumcised, those that are not born again, you must not take a wife for my son among them. I want to say to you, brother, for your marriage to be meaningful, the time of ignorance God winked at. For those that were married before they gave their life to Christ and they married unbeliever, there is a different clause for them, even though they will suffer a bit. But now that you know, now that you are born again before marriage, in fact, are you hearing me? Even if you have been in courtship for the past 12 years, and your marriage remained 3 months, your wedding remained 3 months, and Jesus saved you and transferred you from the kingdom of darkness, what happened to that engagement? It's canceled. Ah! you say, but oh God, I've been with this man for 12 years. He said, what do you mean? Is 12 years of courtship equal to 1 year of marriage? Eh? And some of you talk so much. We have been together for long. Who told you? Until you marry, you are not married. Is that not true? And you only need to go and find out from those that have entered into trouble now. The husband that they married, when they were together in courtship, look at what this man used to say. The letters he used to write, Abba. He said, oh, Ronke, there's nobody like you. Among all the flowers of the garden, you are the rose of my life. He says, all kind of rose. The same man. The same man is the one that carries that same hand with which he used to pat you on the back before. Bam! You say, you slap me. He said, I will slap you again. What has happened? I'm telling you that courtship, no matter how sweet it is not equal to marriage. Marriage is not in the past. Is a venture of faith. Do you know what a man will become tomorrow? Eh? You see what is bothering me? I have seen pastors, real pastors, before they marry, wonderful pastors. Could you ever imagine that a pastor will change? But they have changed. What gave you confidence to be projecting for a future that you don't know if God is not going with you? Marriage is not what we already know. It's a venture of faith into the unknown. And before you take a journey that you have never gone before, how many of you have gone into marriage before? Eh? You've never been there before. It's a new journey for you. You need a guide. And so the first man to follow into marriage is not even your husband. It's the Lord Jesus. He will never change. At every point he said, I'm the one who brought you in. You see, and he said, and he brought her unto the man. You should be able to know who brought you into this matter. That will keep you going. Some people, when their marriage begin to collapse, the greatest trouble I have faced with people when you are counseling them is when they can no longer trace who brought them into that marriage. It's a terrible psychological defeat. You say, ah! It is then he will remember all the suitors. Say, ah! Four men actually approached me. I don't know what pushed me to say yes to this man. I said, sister, let's not think about that. You have said yes already, so we are not going back on that. That one has passed. Let's face the reality now. You have said yes to him. So there's no need of saying, I wish I didn't. No, you could. What you have said, you cannot say you don't say again. You have said it, so keep quiet about it. But how terrible it was for you to enter into marriage and you meet trouble and you cannot say, God, but you brought me. You want to kneel down to pray. Instead of you being able to call on God with boldness, the devil say, but did you not disobey God in coming here? So why are you complaining? No, be his money you married. Do you remember the girlfriend that he was having? That you tricked and you went into the marriage. He had not left that girl. Brother, sister, how many of you are not married in this meeting? Let me see your hand up. Ah, you are plenty. Oh my God. You see now, I have been talking. Look at this. Will you please enter into an oath with God that you will not take any of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom we dwell? Is an oath. They put your hand under my hand and swear to the Lord. There was a question, a very important question, which is still a necessary question to answer. That question was, and the servant said to him, peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I need bring your son again unto the land from whence thou camest? Very important question. Supposing the woman is not willing to follow me into this land, into this kind of life, into this kind of spiritual experience, what do I do? Must I need to carry your son back unto where you came out? What are they saying? He said, supposing the woman is not willing to follow me onto this level of spiritual life because of marriage, can we consider backsliding? Are you hearing that? Must I take your son back to where you came? Brother, what was the answer? He said, never. Don't try it. God will make her to come. If God has not made her to come, keep my son. Must not go there. I refuse. Sister, supposing the man is not coming, and each time they say, well, it is this SU thing, talk back and reutic back SOT. That's why you are not getting anybody to marry. Relax. You can't just be putting a straight face, always dressing as if you're a widow, and think somebody will marry you. No! All the boys of nowadays, what is good? Hallelujah! They are looking for something that is good. That to make up. Make up. You dress very well. What is wrong with painting your lips in order to be acceptable? All of those things, there's nothing wrong. You dress well and go to places. You can't just be hiding in church and say you are praying somebody. How many brothers are in your church? They are not here, so they won't follow you inside. You go out. Go out and see what they are doing in the land. That was the question. Peradventure, the woman will not follow me to this land. Must I need to carry your son back? Can I reduce the consecration? Can I reduce the holiness? Can I reduce my knowledge of the word of God and go back? Can we consider backsliding? Can we backslide because we want to marry? Can we say, well, let me go back in order to come up? Is that permitted? God says no. Brothers, there are even some sisters, they are so-called sisters in fellowship nowadays. You want to propose to them. She said, well, I am not a fanatic. I'm a Christian, born again. I'm not a fanatic. Look, if you want us to marry, cool down. Yes? Cool down. All this praying, all this missionary call, I preach and cry, I don't believe in it. I'm a Christian, saved by grace, I feel by the Holy Ghost. I'm not going too far. Listen. There are some of you saying, the Lord himself is the one that convinced me that I should marry her. It's not true. The word of God says, if she is not going to come onto this land, you can't go back. You don't take a backward step in order to catch a wife. as long as she's not yet ready to come, keep sleeping. And God brought her unto the man. God did not bring the man unto her. When I see two people cutting, and the sister is insisting on worldliness, insisting and say reduce, all the brothers and fathers that God gave you in the Lord, the girl is telling you that if you want me and you to marry, I can't see you going to those brothers. Their own is too hard. I want you to relax. Excuse me. Even if the spirit woke you in the night yesterday and said, that girl you must marry, reconsider your stand. There is a reason. The Lord has not yet brought her. When you swap the Bible, you know, some of us, we are over spiritual. We are over spiritual. There are girls that are saying, you must change your church before I can marry you. And you will carry yourself from where God placed you. You are doing You are running after a girl. That's not the Bible. The Bible says, and the Lord brought her. You are not to go back. When you start going back, you can't provide leadership. When you have gone back, then you now want to move. You say, no. Why now? You are deceiving me. But me and you, I told you before that me, I don't want to go that way. And you agree that you will come back and stay at my level. Why are you now saying we must go? Didn't God say your yes should be yes and your nay should be nay? You are finished. Young man, you are finished. Those questions, peradventure. You know peradventure. What's the meaning of peradventure? In case, we don't say it will happen, but if it happens, and she will not be willing to follow me into this land, because I need to bring your son again unto the land where thou camest. Abraham said to him, beware! That's the correct instruction. Do what? Beware. Be careful. Thou, you, be careful that thou bring not my son there again. And brother, marriage is not a reason for backsliding. I think you should continue to sleep until God bring her. There is one that God will bring for you. As we study now, God help us in Jesus' name. If you are already going backward in order to catch a girl, I advise you this afternoon, do what? Stop it. If you have made so many adjustments, structural adjustment, adjustment that are oh, you have entered to serve. The girl has served your anointing. Serve the grace of God in your life. You used to fast and pray before, but since you started that courtship, she said, no. I can't marry a man that will not eat. And the day she knows you are eating, that's the day she will now our dibe. That must say into your nose. And before you know it, he said, look, you can't say you are not eating because I have labored. I can't see you wasting all my labor here. And you take excuse from the Lord and say, Lord, you understand. When you have such a girl, I advise you. I'm advising you in strong terms. Beware. Beware. There's a hole ahead of you. Once marriage is not properly contracted at the beginning, there's nothing we can do to repair it. It's very dangerous. You need to pray. That's an instruction for those that are unmarried. Some people say, hey, that was what happened to me. Oh, I went down. Sorry, brother, you have gone down. You have gone down already. Your own, you better kneel down there and say, Lord, I am married. I am married. You know the meaning of marry? Wedding. I have been wedded. Wedded. You see, that word is a very dangerous word. My word, yeah. Hallelujah. You are wedded, though. Don't say Bragule said I can. There's nothing you can do. Settle there. Settle there. Whatever you can now make out of life with God, may God help you. But for those that are yet to go in, beware. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, which saved you, and from that lifestyle, and which spoke unto me, that swear to me, he will go before you and take a wife for you. God will do it. Don't panic. Never you panic. God will give you a wife, the one you can live with. Sister, God will give you a right husband. Don't go down because you want to go with a man. No, please. The reason why I'm giving these instructions is because of what we are about to discover in the scripture. Now, when you go on, he said, if the woman will not be willing to follow you, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son there again. You see that? So what's the meaning of that? I prefer that my son remains unmarried than be unequally yoked. Some of you rush into marriage. So what did you get? What did you get out of a wrong marriage? What was your benefit for backsliding in order to marry? Nothing. It were better you were not married. If you remain unmarried up till now, Abba, something good will have happened. Rather than marry a wrong person. Unequal yoking in marriage is a great sin before God. Very big. Young people, you need to know it. And when I talk of unequal, I'm talking not just that she doesn't go to church. She goes to church, but she's not willing to follow you onto the land that God has led you. That's unequal yoking. When two people come to me and say, hey, uncle, hey, we're about to, you know, I'm seeing a vision. I say, go and call me together. I say, this young man, this is the direction we have known him to go. Are you going to go with him? Any soul, any girl who is refusing to go, to be carried by God, who wants the husband to come to her father's house on the condition of her own custom, she's not marriable. Note it. And if you don't compromise at the beginning, God will help you in the name of Jesus. So, you know, the man left and God blessed him. I think because my time is not there, I cannot study the whole of that thing with you, but it's so interesting. But I don't have the time. God will give you understanding in Jesus' name. Now, let's go quickly to verse 50. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceeded from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before you. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth, and the servant brought forth jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah, and gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not. Seeing the Lord has prospered my way, send me away, and I may go to my master. And he said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said to her, will thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Let's stop that. May God help us in Jesus' name. Now, number one, correct biblical marriage must be with the consent of the parents. You don't meet a girl at the riverside and cast your mantle on her neck and carry her. No matter how you have prayed, and you remember that this man prayed. Abi? He prayed so well, so that the right girl came. The right girl, all the things he said God should do was done. But that was not sufficient. Brothers, you may really pray and you believe God has revealed a sister to you. That is just number one step. You dare not take away that girl when her parents are still saying, we don't know you. These are days that all biblical injunctions are being thrown aside. And you see young people, even in church, they carry girls, sisters. Say, what? My father, why don't mind my mother? I've been counseling for years now. I've never seen up to two of such marriages that worked. It will not work. And you, girl, do you know the man you are going with? That you are throwing away all those that could have established spiritual leadership over him for you. You throw them away to follow a stranger. When I talk of parents, I talk of physical parents. I also talk of spiritual parents. Those that have brought you up in the Lord, why wouldn't you allow them to confirm your leading and to agree to release you? Why will you elope with a man without having settled? You see, he went and spoke with the parents. He spoke to the brother, he spoke to Bethuel, and spoke to the mother. And he gave them chance to consider it. And they said, the thing proceeded from the Lord. We cannot speak unto you bad or good. I know someone will say, but some parents, they are very notorious. They will not allow. It's not true. When it is God, they will allow. It may take time, but they will allow. Several of us have gone through it. And as we waited and prayed, because we knew it was the Lord, they allowed. Impatience must not drive you to pick another person's daughter and run away. Hallelujah. The Bible said, they gave him the chance. They said, well, Rebekah is before you, take her and go. Let her be your master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. What did he do? He brought forth jewels of silver, jewels of gold, raiment, gave them to Rebekah. He also gave to her brother, to her mother, precious things. So it is not only now that we settle dowry before we marry. Precious things. He gave them what? Precious things. It's not buying her over, but it did. So if they ask you to pay dowry, don't claim her by faith. Rather, claim the money by faith and go and settle. You'll be a responsible man that way. Well, you know, I'm going farther than that, so let's go on. But there's something else that I want to point to you, which must be noted in our marriages. The man said, "Send me away unto my master." Her brother and her mother said, "Let the damsel abide with us a few days." If the damsel abide with them a few days, will marriage have taken place yet? That's the trouble. There are times that even though marriage has taken place, the parents are refusing to do what? To let go. It's not easy. It's not easy. That's why the Bible didn't say, "For that reason shall a boy leave his father and mother." Boys are not able to live alone. Marriage is for matured men. When you have not reached a level where you can live alone, don't try to marry. Some of you young brothers, you marry into your father's parlor. That's not correct, you know. Your father just said, "Don't worry, we will set you everything. Go and marry. You know, there's one room in my parlor here." No, it's not right. No matter how eager you want your children to marry, they must marry into their own home. You must let them go. You know, they said at least 10 days. What will 10 days add to Rebecca's life? But that usually is the deception of parent-in-laws. Excuse me. When you want to marry, those few days that your in-laws are demanding, don't agree. Those few days that your father is saying, "Stay, let all of you just stay first." No, those few days are dangerous days. They are days that affect your marriage forever. They don't allow you to take off. They don't allow you to face yourself as you are. You keep seeing your husband in the shadow of his father. It is true, you may not know how to cook like your husband's mother. As long as she's around, as you are cooking, say, "Iru to ofisi ye," is not enough. Locust bee is not enough. Say, "My son doesn't eat this kind of thing." They call it few days. They are not asking for years. They are just asking for few days. Few days of interruption. It can set your marriage out of focus. Few days of encroachment can make your marriage to become confused forever. How many times, listen, that just a mother visited you for few days. Those few days, she quarreled with your wife and your wife got annoyed and abused her. And she left for life. Has that quarrel been solved? She abused me. She doesn't want any of us to go near. For life, few days that can become years of trouble. That young man, that servant of he said, "No. You know what he said? Hinder me not." Few days is a days of hindrance. Hinder me not. How I wish we would understand biblical standard of marriage. Hinder me not, seeing the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. So, verse 57, 58, crucial issues. They said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. You see, at the point that they are asking at her mouth. Brethren, I must tell you, even though you are paid dowry, dowry is not yet marriage. Amen. At any point, when a woman says, I'm not going with you, why don't you go back and rest? That's why when we bring people to the altar to join them, finally we ask them again, does any of you know any impediment why you should not be lawfully joined together? Say it now. We wait. Supposing the woman at that point say, I'm afraid, we will stop the marriage. A broken engagement is forever better than a broken marriage. Even if that engagement is right on the wedding day, there's no problem. We will inquire at her mouth. And so you see, marriage is a personal commitment. Her mouth. Nobody should speak for you. I've heard some people saying, you know, and pastor said, that's the man I should marry. That's why I went there. Don't marry a man because of pastor. Pastor will not always be there. In fact, if you marry and pastor is always there, that pastor is a demon. Cast him out. You see, brother, you are going too far. I'm not. Marriage is between two people. It's not between a man, a woman, plus her pastor. There's nothing like that. Pastor has to prepare them for marriage. Once they get married and we finish, pastor should go back to his ministry and allow them to take off. Release them. Don't say this man is so useful in this ministry and you're always pulling him out. No, please. Release him. That's what it means to marry. We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. So, verse 58. And they called Rebekah and said to her, will thou go with this man? Please note, I have some few things to say about that before we stop. Marriage is a going of a woman with the man. Note that. They did not say, will this man go with this woman? When they say, will you go with this man? Who is going? Is the man going? So the woman comes along. Listen, this is where we are going. When you get into this conviction that you want to get married as a sister, you are ready to do what? To go with a man. The man has the journey. Are you understanding that now? You are only doing what? Going with him. You are going along with him. You don't change the order and say the man should do what? Go with you. No, it's not to escort you. You are the one to go with him. All wives are to go with their husband. When your husband stands and says, I'm going this way, no matter what you are doing here, no matter all your friends, what do you tell them? I'm going with my husband. Your husband's direction is your automatic direction. Will you go with this man? when a matter is to be discussed, and he says, this is the direction I want to go. You may have decided to go in this direction before. What do? You suspend your own journey and do what? And go with him. That was the matter. Will you go with this man? And Rebecca said, I will do what? I will go. I have been reading the Bible. I've not seen one place where it was a mutual bargain. Where it is where? If you are going that way, me, I'm not going. I'm not going. You can go. I will be here. Whenever you go, mainly. It's not like that. There's no Bible that teaches that in marriage. I'll tell you the responsibility of the man, but the first responsibility of the woman is to do what? Is to go with the man. Are you hearing me? Supposing we come for a church meeting, and people are talking, and your husband stood up and said, this is what I believe I'm going to do. What did God say you should do? You go with him. You don't say, that's my husband's opinion, but me, oh, I have my own mind. No, that's not biblical. His convictions, you must go with. Go with him. My husband is going to Catholic Church. Go with him. That's the Bible. He said, but you see, we are Pentecostal. No. Let's not twist the Bible because it is convenient for us and for our church membership. Release her, let her go, because that's their covenant. I will go with him. You say, but they will be lost. They will not be lost. That sister will never be lost. You know why? When she goes, she will sanctify that man. And the man will suddenly say, I'm not going here again. And then the man will lead his wife back. And you will ask, madam, how did you make it? Say, well, the Lord. My husband just woke up in the middle of the night and said, even this Reverend Father said, I don't even understand what they are doing. All of this thing, everything. And he said, can we go to your church? He said, no, if you are going there, I will go with you. That's the Bible. I don't care what men are saying. No. When we see Bible, we follow it. Sometimes it is not convenient. It's not even convenient for me. Are you understanding that now? But we cannot do anything against the truth. But for the truth, we must preach the truth and submit our lives to the truth. Will you go with this man? That's what you said when you are marrying him. You cannot now turn back and say, you know, I don't want to go with him. You must go with him. Go with him. But you can change his direction. Do you know why? Because he has a head. You can appeal to the head. That's why I've already noted that don't try to marry an unbeliever, because his head is the devil. His father is the devil. Do you like the devil to be your father-in-law? That's why it's not good. But if he's a child of God, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, who fears God, there's no problem. Even if he says he's going here, you can say, I'm going with you. Have I not done that for several lives, as the Lord led? A man, a brother, when he was trying to misbehave, he said he was going to politics. He was going into politics headlong. The wife said, I'm not interested. So whenever he's going, she would say, bye-bye. And this young man was going everywhere. Of course, there are new girls that were now moving around them. When the political friends are going to visit, she's not around to cook. She came and said, brother, my family. As I listened, I said, yes, what's your husband doing now? They don't mind him. He has left everything. He's going for politics. I'm not interested. How can I be a politician? No, I don't. I looked at her. I said, do you want God to help you? He said, yes. I said, what exactly was your marriage vow when you married? Emi o ma bu ola fun. Emi o ma gbo tire. Is that not what you said? I will listen to him. I will obey him. I said, go and obey. Follow him. I said, brother, to politics? That's dangerous. I said, he is going there. Go with him. If you don't come for fellowship again, I understand. Go with him. When he comes home tonight, show interest and ask him, how about it? Has the party nomination been done? Ask him. He said, but I'm not interested. I said, yes, I know you are not interested. Even me, I'm not interested. I'm not interested. Go with him. But we have a remote control. Since we know that that's not the will of God for him, we appeal to Baba in heaven to frustrate it. But meanwhile, be ready to cook for all his visitors. We frustrated it right on our knees and sent the woman to go with him. So, they were moving everywhere. When the election came, he got nothing. Listen. You know, the day he came back, it was a miracle. He came and said, look, I am finished with politics. Politics is hopeless. Abba, no, I will serve the Lord now. No. They're going for crusade. From village to village, say, this is what I should spend my life in. The wife said, Uncle, this thing worked. I said, it will always work. The word of God will always work. It may first look unreasonable, but it works. It's a privilege. If you made a suggestion and your husband decided to adopt it, but you must put it in his hand so that it will be him going. It is not good if at every point your husband says, oh, what remain or what should we do now? Since you are the one going, may I just follow you? It's not good. If your husband does that, please stop going. Tell him that no, I didn't intend to go ahead. I was just making a suggestion to put in your hand. You are the one who knows how to go. I'm the one just to go with you. If you have a vision, there are some sisters here, I hear you say you have a vision. And I thank God for your vision. Amen. Thank God for your vision. But why wouldn't you pray and put that your vision in your husband's heart? And let it become his own vision. The only thing that will happen is that when it is in his hand, it will no longer be like it is in your hand. It will have a different shape of a man, which he is, that you may go with him. And it will not be wrong. Every vision God gives a woman is to go with her husband. Are you hearing me? If your husband said, the Lord has called me unto... Is it children evangelism or a village evangelism? May I inform you? God cannot give you a vision, another vision, for for Abuja. If you have that vision, do you know the name of that vision? It's division. No, you have to go with it. And if you pray more, you will see that those things that you thought God told you actually is to go with this man. Your ability is to go with him. Your grace is to go with him. Your gifts is to go with him. It will go with him. I'm telling you, it will go with him. You may not know now, but it will go with him. Suddenly you discover that what you thought was independent, it will fit into that vision. It will go with him. Put it in his hand and go with him. And God will bless you. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. Now listen, this is the crucial matter. They blessed Rebekah, and they said to her, "You are our sister." Is that not so? "Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let your seed possess the gate of those that hate them." Now look at chapter 22. Genesis 22, please check that quickly. Verse 17. Can you please read up to verse 18? Where was that blessing pronounced? Eh? That was on the mountain of Moriah. Where was the blessing of verse 60 of chapter 24 being pronounced? It was at the hall of Kadia. Do you know how many year interval? Isaac was about 12 years of age when this was said about him. But now he was 40 years when he was to take Rebekah in marriage. How many years now? 28 years. What do you discover? Do you notice that the blessing of verse 17 of chapter 22 and verse 60 of chapter 24, do you notice that they are the same? Eh? All right. When a woman says, "I will go with a man," do you know what happens? God places the destiny, the vision, the ministry, the expectation of that man. He places it on you. 28 years interval does not matter. When a woman said, "I will go with this man," then God, in order to join them, will put on that woman all that God was expecting the man to achieve. In God's plan, there are no two different ministries for a man and his wife. When I say no two different, I mean they have only one goal to accomplish. She may have a different aspect of the same vision to carry out, but it's not a separatist approach. They said, "You are our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let your seed possess the gate of those that hate them." Exactly. That's the miracle of marriage. I can safely tell you, since you said you will go with this, your husband, God has placed his destiny on you. What God wants him to accomplish is exactly what God is demanding and placing on your life. And I tell husbands, stop looking left and right and say, "Maybe that other sister will be praying better for you." They were not anointed to do. It's your wife that God has placed the blessings of your destiny upon her. You better please focus. I don't agree with you that you think that there's another sister somewhere who understands your vision better than your wife. I don't agree with you. There's no one like that. Temporarily, she may show little understanding, but God will bring her onto your understanding. There's no alternative to a man's wife in God's program. until death do them part. If your wife falls down dead now, what God does is that the mantle of your life that was put on her, Baba will remove it. We bury it with her. We don't bury it with her. Baba will pick it up and hold it until he has made another who could wear it. So I'm praying that even in whichever condition you find yourself, you will understand that God's purpose for marriage is more than social concern. It's first of all spiritual. Hallelujah. So I say to you, if you look at your wife very well, she's the one that God has tied your destiny around. That's why I tell you, I don't know anyone. We work with many brothers and many sisters, and that is good. But there's none of them that could stand where your wife stands. Amen. There's none of them that could bear the burden of your life as your wife does. There's none of them that God has tied your destiny to their neck as your wife or as your husband. That's why you are going to cleave unto her. That's why you are going to hold tightly unto her. That's why you are going to say, Lord, nothing will come between me and this woman. She's the one that has your destiny. Hallelujah. So Rebecca arose. And her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebecca and went Rebecca's way. Eh? Which way did they go? He went his way. Onatuma logba. There's a way that God showed him to take. That's where Rebecca followed. I wish. So, why say, but how can I help my husband? You are going to pray for him. Say, Lord, don't let my husband take a wrong way. Begin to pray for him, intercede for him. Lord, don't let him take a wrong decision. Don't let him be distracted from your way. And if you pray for him, God will answer that prayer. Instead of waiting until he will miss God and you say, I told you. Hey, I'm telling you, you think I'm not wise. I know what I'm doing. Yeah, all that you know how to do, why don't you put it together in God's hand and say, Baba, give it to him. Let him receive it as from the Lord, not as from you. Men, I still want to confess that men, their ego is so strong. Many men don't want to take from their wives. Is that all right? But there is a way a woman can put something into the hand of her husband and the man will have taken it not knowing. You know how? Pass it to God. Pass it unto God. You remember when he came in the life of Sarah? That was a woman I loved to study with you, but no time again. That woman, she was submissive to her husband. When he said, go here, she went. But when it came to driving out Ishmael and Agar, at first, you know, the girl was arrogant. She packed out. When the angel met her, what did the angel tell her? Go back and submit to Abraham. To who? To your mistress. That's how it should be. But when time came for that woman to be cast out, Sarah told her husband, cast out the bond woman and her son, for he will not have an inheritance with my son. She's speaking exactly the word of God. But the husband cannot act on it except it comes from God. You remember that? So he went and said, God. God said, yes, actually, go and do what your wife said. You see, wives, I don't
I don't see why you're afraid. No need. You only need to have to get to God. Some of your suggestions that you are talking and your husband is saying, no, we can't do that. We can't do that. Don't worry. Don't argue about it. Don't make it a quarrel. Say, okay. Atigbo. So what do you want us to do? We follow you. But then you put it back to Baba's hand. Suddenly as he's going, he will suddenly just see Baba's hand and say, take this. This is the new direction. He's, and it's like what my wife said. Baba said, yes, actually I told your wife. Next time, when you make a suggestion, instead of throwing it away, he said, Lord, are you the one passing to me through my wife? He may take your instruction. He may even obey what you have said. But not as by you. He's getting it through the Lord. Only wives that can hide in God can become a positive influence to their husband. We don't say that. Don't listen to your wife. No. Husbands will listen to their wives, but through God. If I have sisters who don't insist on their suggestion, but they first carry it to God. Said, Lord, the way my husband is going, I don't think it is right. Lord, can you please direct him? I was thinking that if we go like this, it will work well. And if Baba agrees, Baba says it's true. Baba said, please, go and tell him. He said, no, sir. You know I must not tell him. Tell him by yourself. And before I can tell him, let him hear it from your mouth. And Baba said, okay, listen carefully. When you hear the sound of the mulberry, the sound of goings on the mulberry trees, that's the time you can speak. Wives, it is possible to know when to speak to your husband. When the Holy Spirit now say, yes, I have dealt with him, tell him now. I've spoken enough of Rebecca, isn't it? Let's look at Isaac now. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lahai-roi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field. You see a man, the kind of man to marry. What do you notice about him now? Was a prayerful man. Was a man that dwelt in the presence of God. You know that name of Lahai-roi, the meaning of it is that the well of him that does what? That seeth me. A man who is dwelling in the presence of God, who is dwelling by the well of living water. He went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. He went to pray. Now look at the Bible now. These are very simple things. He lifted up his eyes and did what? And saw. And behold, the camels were coming. The Bible said, he looked up and saw camels coming. And then 64. And Rebekah did what? Lifted up her eyes and saw Isaac. What's the meaning of this? What's the meaning of this now? As if the right place to look in order to see yourselves properly is to look up. Look unto the Lord for each other. Stop looking at each other's face. If you look at each other's face, you will see all kind of troubles, all kind of problems that will throw you away. But if you are looking up for her, before you see her, you will have seen the Lord. You will only see her in the beauty of the Lord. And you will see him in the beauty of the Lord. The two of them looked up. Beautiful. If husband and wife will keep looking up for one another. Looking unto the Lord for one another. When your wife does something that you don't understand, instead of facing her, why don't you first look up to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't understand why my wife did this. And the Lord said, don't worry. It's a mistake. I will tell her not to do that again. It's just a mistake. When the Lord administers to you like that, you know that it's so easy. You now say, "God, sorry, I know that that thing was a mistake. The Lord told me that it was just a mistake." You know, she was expecting that you are going to lash on her and say, "Look at you, why are you doing like this?" But because the Lord had already ministered to you, say, "Don't worry, I knew the struggle you had." She will release and relax and almost break down on your hand. They looked up for each other. So look at that. When she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. The next note. She did what? Read it for me in another version. NIV. NIV, when she saw Isaac coming, what did she do? Read it. Verse 64.
And saw Isaac. She got down from her camel and asked the servant.
Amen, amen. She got down from her camel. Sisters, you cannot enter marriage on your camels. Are you getting me? You cannot enter marriage on the chariot you are riding. I know those camels is what you were riding from your father's house. But when you are about to enter into your husband's life, what must you do, please? Come down. What do I say to all sisters? Come down. Come down from your camel. Your camel of analysis. Your camel of open eye. Your camel of understanding. Your camel of big English. If you want to marry, do what, please? Come down. You can't marry riding a camel. When she saw Isaac, what did she do immediately? She came down from the camel. There are certain camels that you are riding before you are in your father's house. Only God will interpret those camels to you. You know them. You cannot insist on riding those camels into marriage. It will scatter your marriage. Calm down. You may be a professor. When you want to really enter marriage, calm down. You don't marry as a professor. Are you hearing me? There are some of you that by God's grace you have been trained as a lawyer. You cross-examine criminals here and there. When you are about to enter marriage, excuse me, what do you do, please? Calm down. Calm down from that. You can't just put your husband in the soap box and be asked and say, "So, but why did you do this thing?" And no, calm down. Calm down. All these too much questioning. I know you learnt it when you were single. You don't want people to cheat you. So that's one of the camels you are riding. And it has carried you into places. It has made you prominent. But now that you are about to marry, what must you do? Come. You cannot sit on those camels and have a victorious marriage. Calm down. Calm down. Sometimes you have to calm down from your intelligence in order to get your marriage going. Calm down. Thank God for Rebecca. She suddenly knows that this is the man who you cannot meet him on camel. Calm down. There are some of you that, in fact, it is even the spiritual training you had. The church where you are coming from, the way they used to talk in the church and all of this. And as you are coming to marriage, you cannot ride that camel into your marriage. Do what? Calm down. Calm down. to say, no, no, in our church, this, no. Except you don't want to marry again. If you don't want to marry again, then you can ride your camel back into the wilderness. Many women are on their camels, and that's why they have no husband. I know that God has endowed you with so many camels. They are gifts that you got from your fathers. But into marriage, we don't ride camels. What do? We come down. She came down. She came down. She came down. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant said, it is my master. She did another thing. Another important thing she did. She came down. Is that all right? From her camels. What did she do again? She took a veil. She wouldn't see her husband with open eye. Are you understanding now? She took a veil and covered us. All those oju pe 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 pe. Yes, I'm telling you. When you are a single girl, it is normal when you are moving among your classmates in the university. When the young man tells you, your sister will say, yes, what do you mean? What do you mean? Usually, if you don't do that, they will cheat you. Isn't it? But this man is not your classmate. He's your husband. So what do you do, please? Come down and put a veil. You see, the Bible said, women should be covered with shamefacedness. We are talking of life. The Yoruba version was very interesting. Let them use shamefacedness to beautify themselves. That was what First Timothy chapter 2 said. She took a veil. She was going to come under a cover. A sign of submission. A sign of humility. She covered herself with a veil. Hallelujah. So what was the response of Isaac? Verse 67. And Isaac did what? Brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. Did you hear what I've said? And Isaac brought her to where his mother used to be. The only place that befits your wife is your mother's tent. The place your mother occupied in your life. The regard you gave your mother. The honor you gave your mother. That's where. You see that? Praise the Lord. That's where the wife should be put. The mother's tent. I know you. You could walk out on your father easily. But have you been able to walk out on your mother before? Is it possible? Have you been able to forget your mother? There is a joining that makes mothers indispensable. And that's where God ordained for your wife to enter. There's no other place that will fit if your wife will not enter into that place. The honor you gave your mother belongs to her now. The care, the respect, the tenderness, the listening ear you gave to your mother. She actually, in essence, becomes your mother. You see that Bible is contrary to our culture. That woman that God is giving you as a wife, can you please take her from where you are putting her and bring her to where you reserve for your mother? You have never abused your mother before. It will be strange for you to abuse your wife. It is not that your mother has never misbehaved, but because she's your mother, you endured with her. And Rebecca Isaac brought her into his mother's tent. That's the first thing. So let me ask you, where is your wife today? Do you continue to boast to your wife and say, "Kai, oh my mother, oh sweet mother, my mother"? Any little thing, I'm going to see my mom. Any little thing, "Kai, if it is my mom." And that's why the major trouble in many marriages are mother-in-laws. Have you noticed it? Mother-in-laws, not even father-in-laws. It's mother-in-laws. It's difficult for mothers to release their son. And yet, if you want to have a good marriage, that woman must take her place. The next time when mama is coming to sleep in her tent, she's already there. "Mommy, I must tell you, I have another mother now." You must be bold to bring this to the notice of your mother. When she comes, she only sleeps outside that tent. It is generally not easy for mothers, but they will learn. Next step. That verse 67. What is it? "And took Rebecca." You'd see the word "took." You know, when you read it, it doesn't look grammatical. How do you take? As if it's a pin to take. But the Bible is very interesting. What's the meaning of that? "He took Rebecca." You see, the Bible made us to, "He took Rebecca." He took the person. He did not take her dress. He did not take her money. He did not take her properties. What did he take? Rebecca, the complete person. Good and bad. There is no person that is good all round and there is nothing bitter inside. That's not how we are made. There is gallbladder inside of all of us that is very, very bitter. Is that correct? But it's inside. And Isaac did what? Took Rebecca. It took her completely. It did not say, hey? No. I don't want all of this. All I want of you is your breast. And some people, they only took sex from their wives. Other responsibilities, they say, go and handle it. He did not only take Rebecca's things, he took Rebecca. Complete acceptance. You don't know. You know the word, when I was reading in Yoruba, Yoruba was more strong for me. Oni nitori eyi ni okunrin yo si fi baba ati iya re sile. Yo si farama aya re. You know the word farama? What's the meaning of farama? Babe. Do you understand that now? Farama. Whatever you see there, do what? Farama. Take it. Do you understand that now? Take it. And he took Rebecca. Take it. We don't pray that your wife will be barren. But this she is. Do what? Farama. And he took Rebecca. I will show you now that he took Rebecca. That woman was barren for 20 years. And he took Rebecca. He took her. See, that's my wife. There may be some aspect of her life that you did not anticipate. And suddenly you discover that, I did not know that this is like this. What did the Bible say he did? He took it. Farama. You see, it looks like the right word for us now. He took it. He took Rebecca. My home. He did not now sit down and say, Mufele, you don't like this. I want this. Mm-mm, not this one. Which one can I take again? There's nothing like that. He took Rebecca. You see, correct marriage does not allow any aspect of the woman to be cast out. It should be all taken. And when you begin to take that your wife, you will grow. You will grow. Instead of saying, Kai. You know, most of the things you are complaining about your wife, sometimes when I'm talking with people and I'm counseling them, they think, oh, brother, you are pro-women. I say, no, I'm not. I'm just pro-Bible. I just like to follow the Bible. What did he say you should do now? Farama. Whether long or short. Do what? Take it. And he took Rebecca. Then the next word. And she became his wife. You know, that looks very trivial. Abi? She became his wife. She became one, his responsibility. She became the object of care. She became his object of tenderness. She became his wife. When I read that Bible, it touches me. She can no longer relate to Rebecca as to any outside girl. Do you know what I'm telling you? I am not particularly responsible to listen to any sister. Is that all right? If I listen to you, I am being very, very polite. But there's someone that I must listen to. Who is that? My wife. He said, she became his wife. The responsibility of being a husband. husband? Are you going to provide, to nourish this wife? She became his wife. Before that time, Isaac had nobody he takes care of. There are many girls in Isaac's family. Eliezer had many daughters and several others, but none had become his wife. He is not the husband to any of them. So when the Bible says he must be the husband of one wife, a man that takes care of only one wife. There are many brothers that they have many wives, but their other wives are not even women. Some are married to computer. You know, computer is there now, is now their wife. They spend more money to sustain computer than to take care of their wives. Some people married dog. Dog. If you do anything to their dog, you see them, they face mother and say, look, what did you do to precious and precious? That's dog. The family have not got food to eat. Oh. But precious must eat. What is precious now? Has became the wife. Who is your wife? Who is your wife? There are some of you, ministry is your wife. Ministry. You know, church, your church is your wife. You go from morning till night, say, my ministry, my ministry, my ministry, my ministry. You put everything on the ministry, nothing for the wife. You have two wives. You have two wives. And she became his wife. By that, he became a husband. May God make you a husband. She became his wife. And he loved her. You see where love comes in now? He loved her. The only characteristic of a husband is love. He loved her. And you see, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Wife ought to bring comfort. Wives ought to bring support. Why is that to bring fulfillment? May God bless our homes in Jesus' name. It doesn't matter that problem may be marriage. Biblical marriage are not usually problem free. And problem is nothing. It's not a reason to break marriage. Storms normally come only to bind you more together. You see how I've reported Isaac? Even at old age, he was still doing sport with his wife. You remember where they went? And the king of that country, I think Gera, when they went in, the mistake that his father made, he also made. They tell them that you are not my wife. So, but one day, the king was sitting on the window and was watching at the balcony, and he saw Isaac doing what? Sporting. You know, the Bible is just being polite. Spotty. He said he was caressing his wife. That's the meaning. He was so proud of his wife that they could play together outside. So many husbands, they are so hostile. If they are in the public and their wives, can I say, what are you giving up? What are you giving up? No, don't disturb me here. Don't disturb me here. There's nothing. You regard that as spirituality. It's not. It's not. It's not. See? Isaac, he loved the wife. He has taken her. He has accepted her. He is not ashamed of standing with her in the public. They can go together anywhere. There's no need to talk so much and say that is his wife. They say, where is his wife? They say, oh, you don't know that woman, that is his wife. Oh. No. They can chat together. They were friends. He did not only demonstrate love after in the bedroom when there's no light. That's where most brothers demonstrate their love. Say, I love you, when there's no light. But Isaac embraced the wife. Even publicly, they could stand together. But you know, they were barren for 20 years. What did Isaac do? The Bible said, Isaac was 40 years old in verse 20 of chapter 25 when he took Rebekah to wife. The daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Can you see that? Instead of accusing the wife and saying, look, you are the one delaying me. What did he do? He entreated the Lord. He begged the Lord. He prayed, Lord, please help us. And the Lord answered him. His wife conceived. They solved their problems by prayer, not by fighting. In 20 years, if you marry a wife for 20 years and she delivers nothing, what will you do? I have pastors who, because their wife have not delivered, they now brought out a reason and say, in fact, you know, the Lord didn't actually lead me into this marriage. So they start talking of making restitution. And they have thrown away wives because they are barren. Just because they are looking for a baby. This brother took his wife. She was barren. He took her. 20 years, he took her. They went everywhere together. When she prayed, she conceived. But one thing I saw with the woman also was that she prayed. The two of them, I have known them from the beginning. They were all prayerful. All prayerful. Let's stop here, brethren. Because as I look, we may not leave here today if we continue. We are going to pray together. God has desired that your marriage will be a success. And that's what I want you to claim. I want you to agree with us and agree with God. This message will affect our hope.